My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's talk to a man in the know. Travis Sawchuk, senior baseball writer from The Score. He's been with us before, and it is a pleasure and an honor to have him back on with us again on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Travis. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, where should the panic meter be right now for Guardians fans?
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch, to say the least. And they, I mean, at least they salvaged that game yesterday, or else it would have been pretty brutal. I would say, you know, baseball season kind of looks like a stock market chart a lot of times, where you have these lulls and peaks and you're bouncing around and they are at a down period. The one, just looking at some things this morning, one glimmer of hope for the lineup and run production efforts is over the last month, they are an outlier in bad luck in terms of batting average on balls in play. The league average is around 300 usually. They have a BABIP of 246 over the last month. So that's 20 points less than the 29th ranking team out of 30. So they've had some really, I mean, maybe part of that's weak contact, but they've also just had some really bad offensive fortune. And I think, you know, Stephen Kwan has really struggled over the last weeks. And I think, you know, they overachieved first half offensively, and now we can always count on regression, good and bad in baseball, and the regression gods have come after them the last month or so. But I do think going into September, I think even Bo Naylor on that interview said once we get past this stretch, and I do think they could be in for a better offensive stretch, but you know, at the deadline, it would have been nice to see some different reinforcements come in. Lane Thomas, he's great against left-handed pitching for his career, but he's below average against right-handed pitching. And to have him playing most days, I don't think he helps you against right-handed pitchers who you see most often. I think, you know, Kyle Manzardo, is there some minor league help they can call upon? So I do think they need some help, but I also think offensively they're bound for some positive regression. And one of the big issues, though, is the starting rotation. The Guardians have been a pitching development factory for years, and it's been a strength. But this year, entering the season, once Bieber was hurt, the depth questions seemed apparent, and they really struggled from the rotation. I think they're 23rd on the season or 24th in ERA, and some of the field independent stats rank similar, are in the same range. And over the last 30 days, they've been even worse off the mound. So that was an area that I thought needed to be addressed probably externally. And I just don't know that you can look at that group. And even if they, I think one of the you have to question this team's ceiling, even if they get in the postseason, because do they have a rotation to match up with some more powerful lineups should they get in the postseason? But that's a conversation for another day. They have to get there first. And it's been a trying time, but I do think they're due for some positive rebound offensively.
Well, that's good to hear that you think that they're looking a little bit positive offensively. The other thing that a lot of people around here are looking at, Travis, is bullpen burnout. I mean, Emmanuel Clase has been on the hill a whole bunch this season. Same thing with Scott Barlow. They have really ridden this pen, and the pen has been outstanding. But it seems like they might be hitting a bit of a brick wall. Do you see that taking place, if maybe the bullpen's just tiring out as well?
Yeah, that's a great point. They've been an outlier this season, elite bullpen. I think 2.79 ERA for the season. The last 30 days, 3.86, I believe. I was just looking at that. So to your point about burnout, I think that's very real. And we've seen bullpens in this town being ridden too hard, and some of these things happen in the past. And yeah, you do have to wonder about workload management. It goes back to the starting rotation, too. I mean, they've had to bail out that group often. They haven't had the quality of starts they've had in the past year. So it's another well, I do think because the lineup strikeout rate remains low over the last 30 days, 19%, their power is still in the middle of the pack. Well, I do think they're bound for some positive movement from this low point they've been in. The bullpen, I think, is a real concern just because of the usage you mentioned.
Travis, I know it kind of dipped a little bit this week with Kansas City in town, but they're still 17 games over 500 at home compared to being one game over 500 on the road. Why? Why do you think that is? I mean, it's not. I mean, yeah, you get your last at bat, but why do you think?
The wind tunnel, Andy.
Is that what it is? All right, well, if it's a wind tunnel, then I'll buy it.
I don't. I mean, that's half kidding. But have you been up to that third deck?
Yeah.
Under conditions, I do think there's, and then you look at the ballpark factors, I do think it's real to some degree, and maybe another reason to favor left-handed hitters going forward. So
it was weird. I was up there. The wind wasn't too crazy last time I was up there, and I was like, I don't know, maybe even I was making too big of a deal out of this.
It was last time I was up there, I think it was last weekend, and it was you got a good little breeze. You know, you saw some people having to put on an extra layer.
I just remember during the winter when those seats were coming down going, I wonder how this is going to affect the ball, you know. But I was like, you got to get it up there a little bit to try to get it out. I don't know. You know, if they win the World Series, it's all going to be it'll be the legend of the new wind tunnel, right?
Yeah, I encourage everyone who's interested to go up to that third deck in a windy day. And there is some effect there. And this is a bit of a tangent, but it's something to consider when building rosters in the future for this team, I believe. And, I mean, teams' home field advantage is a real thing in baseball for probably a variety of reasons. And it's a little stronger this year. Maybe it's just randomness. I don't know. But, it's usually a thing because of you're not traveling. Umpires tend to have a slight bias for the home team in making calls, and you're familiar with your surroundings. So home field's a real thing, and they've been benefiting for a variety of reasons. But I do think the ballpark factors have changed. It's gone from a neutral to more favorable hitter's park this year. And when you have some power from the left side, like Jose, like Naylor, who you got to think Naylor's going to get going again at some point. It is maybe part of that. I do think it is part of the reason for the home splits.
Do you remember at one point when they were at Municipal and they put like a lip, just a real small little tiny fence, temporary, in center field? Because, I mean, the outfield was already gigantic and it was hard enough to hit home runs there in the first place. I'm trying to remember. I want to say that they did it for a center fielder. It wasn't Kenny Lofton. It was before that. And it was somewhere, it had to have been somewhere between Rick Manning and, it was Alex Cole. That's who it was. Remember when they brought Alex Cole in to play center field, I remember them putting like a small little lip in center field, just a real small extension to make it even harder for somebody to hit the ball out of center field that they were trying.
They raised the wall.
Yeah, they raised the wall.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe the future of home field advantage is adjustable fence dimensions year to year, depending on what your roster looks like.
Whatever it takes, man.
I am here for this to turn into Mario Baseball. That's pretty much all I'm here for. If we can start getting weird things like that going on, I'm in. I feel like we're back to, you know what, never mind. That's too nerdy of a wormhole to go down. Travis Sawchuk joining us from The Score, senior baseball writer. Score.com is where you can read him. All right, Travis, so looking around the rest of the AL, if you're a Guardians fan, should you be more afraid of the Royals who just came in, or should you be more afraid of the Twins?
I mean, maybe this is recency bias, but the Royals are pretty interesting. I mean, I think they're the only team with five pitchers to reach 100 innings, so they have some good rotation depth. I know Cole Ragans wasn't great when the Guardians saw him the other day, but he's a live arm. He's very good. Bobby Witt Jr., if Aaron Judge wasn't around this year, he might be the MVP favorite, and he's a tremendous talent. And I think they are playing really well right now. They had some recency bias, but I do like how their pitching improvements, with, like adding Lugo, has really helped them. Some young Michael Massey, I think, has potential to be a really good player. We saw him homer yesterday, and Pasquantino was very good too. So I do think they're an emerging young offensive core. Some veteran pitchers have helped them out this year, and getting some bullpen upgrades at the deadline was key. So they are trending in the right direction, while the Guardians are not at this point. And I do think it's going to be a very September baseball is going to be very interesting. There's going to be some scoreboard watching of Kansas City, and that makes for fun evenings down the stretch.
So, Travis, as well, on the Guardian side of things, Steve Kwan seriously struggling. A lot of people circling that one. I know some of it is just regression. Do you see anything else in the numbers or anything that would point to why Steve Kwan is struggling at the level he is? Because, boy, it's rare to see a guy hit below 200, especially that guy hit below 200 with an on-base that's below 300.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is such a confounding game. He was batting 400 for a very lengthy stretch, and now he's been going through this really difficult stretch. I don't know if there's anything physically he's dealing with, but I mean, he's had some extremes this year. I do think get a large sample of Steven Kwan, a lot of thousands of plate appearances, and he's going to be a 290-ish, 300 hitter, and that's well above average today. I still think, you know, his bat-to-ball skills are exceptional, great eye, great approach, great worker. I'm still a Kwan believer, and I know people, this isn't supposed to be a math class, but again, positive regression, it works both ways, and I do think Kwan and this lineup are going to benefit after this from that, just this law of larger samples, and they're going to get out of this, just like Bo Naylor's speaking about that post-game interview you shared. So he's a guy I still believe in, even though it's been a really difficult stretch with a lot of weak contact and not looking right. It's a very psychological game, and even the best players go through peaks and lows. It's never a straight line up or down. It's always a jagged-looking chart if you look at the day-to-day performances. Mm-hmm.
Travis, as always, thank you. We love your perspective on baseball, and we love having you on the show, too. So thank you so much, man.
Appreciate the time, Travis.
Anytime. Yeah, great to be with you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Travis Sawchuk. Make sure you check him out on thescore.com. He's their senior baseball writer. And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So the bigger question after that interview is, where are you on the Guardians panic meter? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan with Dan Menigan. Let's talk about this. How concerned are we with the Guardians right now? Tell me.
So, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, the problem that I have with it is I can't get below a 5 due to the fact that they're going to make the wild card. So, like, even if they miss out on the Central, they're going to end up making the wild card. So I can't get, like, oh, my God, the horror, the terror, everything's going down. Like, I can't get there because you're going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of do you want to start these series at home? Or do you only want, like, one home game in between? Like, that's the thing with this is no matter what, they're making it. So I can't get, like, oh. So, like, hell, a 6? I mean, maybe that's where I am, is like a 6. It's like, okay, the bullpen's getting a little on a tired end. They really only have two starters that can go more than five innings? Like, that's a concern. And I'm kind of with Travis. You know, Travis Sochek joined us a little bit earlier, had this to say when it came to the bats.
In bad luck in terms of batting average on balls in play, the league average is around 300 usually. They're batting, they have a BABIP of 246 over the last month, so that's 20 points less than the 29th ranking team out of 30. So they've had some really, I mean, maybe part of that's weak contact, but they've also just had some really bad offensive fortune. And I think, you know, Stephen Kwan has really struggled over the last weeks. And I think, you know, they overachieved first half offensively. And now we can always count on regression, good and bad in baseball. And the regression gods have come after them the last month or so. But I do think going into September, I think even Bo Naylor on that interview said once we get past this stretch, and I do think they could be in for a better offensive stretch. But, you know, at the deadline, it would have been nice to see some different reinforcements come in. Lane Thomas, he's great against left-handed pitching for his career, but he's below average against right-handed pitching. And to have him playing most days, I don't think he helps you against right-handed pitchers who you see most often. I think, you know, Kyle Manzardo, is there some minor league help they can call upon? So I do think they need some help, but I also think offensively they're bound for some positive regression.
All right, here's where I am with this. I'm wondering if they're going to call some guys up from the minors, right?
I think they need to.
Okay, I think we all see that. And normally, like, when we see that, it takes like 24 hours, 48 hours before that actually happens. Well, I mean, you can kind of read it sometimes.
And especially with September 1 so close to being around the corner, where they can expand the roster.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I think you're going to see George Valera up here. I think you're, brace yourselves, Guardians fans, I think you're going to see Gabriel Arias up here too. I think that's the other one that's going to find his way here because he's hitting really well. And we're hearing from a lot of different angles that he's messed with some stuff in his swing to get better, hit the ball a little bit harder. Yeah. So I think those are the ones you're going to kind of see. I can't get past a six on it. And it's just because they're going to make the playoffs. And we've all learned since the beginning of baseball, the playoffs are just a completely different animal. And the regular season can give you some look into how the playoffs go, but you get there and all of a sudden you just have four bullpen arms, two starters, catch fire, and three bats, and all of a sudden you're in the World Series.
I don't have the same confidence you do. It's not that I'm not disappointed with the season either. So I'm it's kind of in this, I don't want to say meh, limbo. But I do know, like, I was watching yesterday's game, and I'm riding the wave of every pitch in that game yesterday. It feels like playoff baseball to me, that they know they've got to win these games. And when they got down yesterday, when Witt hits the home run yesterday, I'm like, why are we pitching to this guy? I just don't understand. And I understand philosophy of guy's first hitter, or maybe you don't want to put somebody on because the bases are loaded, or maybe first base isn't occupied, but you're going to have to squeeze the guys over to load them. When you're going up against, and I think Witt only had, what, four or five hits in the series. So I kind of can see it a little bit, but there, it just, you know it. Like, this doesn't take analytics to know that Bobby Witt shouldn't see anything near the middle of the plate. So he hits the home run yesterday, and I'm just like, here we go again. Like, you can't self-destruct. Meantime, they ended up doing a great job. They came back in yesterday's game, and then they popped themselves back up into first place. So, it, you know, part of it is entertaining, and the fact that we're even talking about the Guardians is entertaining. We easily could be sitting here talking about the Browns 24-7, right? Especially this time of year.
And some people would say we do.
Yeah, well, we don't. I can tell you that we've talked a lot more about the Guardians, especially the last couple weeks, than we have in a while, because it's still interesting. And you can sit here and you can rip Steven Vogt, you can rip the front office, you can rip the players, you can rip the announcers, you can rip anybody you want. But the fact that you're doing that means that you're engaged. If you can create negative energy, you're creating energy, and that means you care about what's going on. So now what do they say? Like, I just don't still, I mean, I can look all day at the standings on ESPN, which Steven Vogt says you shouldn't be doing anyway, right? And I can see that it's a 95.5% chance of making the playoffs. Only the Yankees and Orioles have a better percentage of making the playoffs than the Guardians do right now. Okay? They're at 99.8. That's the Yankees, and 99.1 for the Orioles. And it wasn't too long ago the Guardians were sitting at like 96, 97. They dropped back to 92 at one point, which might have even just been 2 days or 2 or 3 days ago. So, like, I'm watching that. I'm keeping my eye on that. I still don't have, like, that magical faith that this thing couldn't fall flat on its face. And I'm not trying to be negative. And maybe it's just the Clevelander in me because I'm so used to being disappointed. And maybe I'm trying to set myself up for disappointment so I can say, well, I can see this coming. And we know, we say things like, whoever thought this team could be this good? And, oh, my God, I can't believe that they're having such a hot start. Wow, wow, wow. Wait a minute. What's going on? They are really struggling in August. Oh, man, that one slump or that two slumps that they had in August where, you know, Baltimore took care of them, Arizona, and then, you know, half of that series against Minnesota in August, that wasn't a whole lot of fun. And then when they start, you know, end of July, they lost three with two to San Diego and then Detroit, how'd they lose to Detroit? Like, you can look at all of this. And then you get to that Milwaukee series and you see you drop two against the Yankees and then, you know, Texas got one. And then all of a sudden you win a two in a row and you're like, oh, maybe they're back. And then Kansas City wins three straight. So it hasn't been a lot of fun. It's been more frustrating than fun, I'd say, over the last month. It was a lot of fun to start the season. My point is, when you're rolling out winning streaks,
you're always having more fun. Sorry.
No, it's all right. My point is, even if it's negative, you're still engaged, right? You're still kind of like, okay, I care. I still care. And I do. I care about what's going on with this team, and I want to see them win. I just don't want to. The hard part is I don't like watching games where they self-destruct. Pass ball, allowing runs, right? Pitching to guys they shouldn't be pitching to. Leaving a guy in a little bit too long. And I'm not, it's not me ripping Steven Vogt on that. It's just like, we can all see it from a mile away. And sometimes I think when you're at the ballpark and you're sitting in the dugout and you're watching the game a little bit different, sometimes they miss some of the things that just seem so obvious on the outside. Hey, you got to make contact when the bases are loaded and there's less than two outs. You have to make contact. You can't stand there with a bat on your shoulder. You can't. I don't care what level it is. I don't care. You can't. You, if you're going to go down fighting. It's ridiculous to not even give yourself a chance and let the umpire make the decision for you. That drives me insane. Get the bat. You're a professional hitter. Get the bat off your shoulder. But now we're sitting here and you got Pittsburgh coming in and some people will say, the schedule looks a little bit more favorable down the stretch. I'm not buying any of that garbage. Every team's a Major League Baseball team. They've struggled with the bad teams this year. And I still think there's a Boston's six back. They're six up on Boston if you want to look at them from a wild card perspective, which you shouldn't be. You should be looking at they're one game up. And then I think, they're about six and a half.
They would have to, yeah. Boston is a six-game lead over Boston for making the wild card if they find themselves in that situation. Yes.
Right.
But Boston's...
Which, by the way, is like a week and a half in baseball terms.
Boston's a mess. So, I mean, the solution in Boston was to...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To bring in 44-year-old Rich Hill to start a game. Like, Boston's a mess right now. It's the reason why I can't
why?
Get
we're bringing
higher
up
than...
We're bringing up starters and not letting them start.
Yeah, but they're not 44 years old.
No, that's true.
I mean, that's
maybe two of them together.
And hey, I love watching Rich Hill pitch. Like, it makes me smile every time to watch all of his weird arm angles and different curveballs and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the fact that he finishes fastballs looking like a Rockette, like, it's outstanding. I enjoy every last bit of it. But the guy's 44 years old. And when bringing a 44-year-old in is your answer, you've got problems. So it's why I can't get super upset with this, because I don't see the Red Sox as a viable team. I don't see the Tigers as a viable team. They're still young. They're still figuring it out, and they've got the Javi Baez contract holding them down every single day. The Mariners canned their manager because they couldn't hit. And it's not like they're going to magically start hitting now that they fired Scott Servais, because Lord knows how many times that guy had to pick up a bat. Like, I can't get upset by this. I'm a six because I can't get lower than a six because I think they're still going to make the playoffs. And so, yeah, they're going to bring up a George Valeri. Yeah, they're going to bring up Kyle Manzardo. I think Steven Kwan is going to snap out of this because I think he's too good of a hitter to hit this poorly the entire second half. And more than anything, to walk this few in the entire second half than he is right now. I think he's going to snap out of it. Jose Ramirez is still excellent. Josh Naylor has had a horrid second half. It can only go up from here. Like, I just don't think they're this bad with the sticks. I think that's going to turn around. I don't know what's going to come with the starting pitching help, but I've questioned that all damn season. And they have done nothing but stick it in my face between getting five innings from random people, bringing up Matt Boyd and, you know, letting him go Houdini. Like, as long as that continues, life is good. Maybe Alex Cobb comes back and looks like Alex Cobb. Great. Now all of a sudden you got somebody else who can go five, six innings. Like, I feel like the solutions are right there in front of them, and it's just going to take time. And so I can't get higher than a six because they're still going to make the playoffs.
All right, where are you on the panic meter? I'm still asking that. Do you still feel good? Yes, ESPN says 95% chance of making the playoffs. Can you lean into that and just go, okay, I'm going to take a lot of deep breaths. I'm going to watch them play Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens against Kansas City. Dodgers are going to be tough, but you still got the White Sox on the other side of that, Tampa and Minnesota. I mean, that's kind of where you're looking at the season right there. Then you finish up with St. Louis and you got Cincinnati down the stretch and in Houston. So you can see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but what do they have to do to get there? Where are you on the panic meter? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps. I kind of look at the Browns going into next week and just like the optimism is very high, as a matter of fact, going into next week. So also want to remind you again, Daryl's going to join us at noon. We'll have Kevin Stefanski a little bit later. It is the fanniversary. 13 years, folks. We've been on the air doing this and nonstop, and the train just keeps on going. So, but we do. It does have to stop this afternoon, and we're going to let Dustin Fox off the train. We do wish him well and his next endeavor, and of course, we'll be able to see him doing those nationally televised college football games. So, just so proud of him for just everything he's been able to do with college football. As you know, I watched him No one handed him anything when it came to doing these college football games, and Dustin does an outstanding job, whether it's on ESPN, ESPN3, ESPN, whatever you're watching, ESPN Plus. You know, he really does. He works super hard at those games, and I hope you guys had a chance to listen to what he had to say when they made the announcement. Was that on Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday.
Either Monday or Tuesday. I'm not 100% sure.
But, I mean, people say things on the station all the time, and I get phone calls and I get texts. And, you know, I look back at what Dustin's gone through, and he explained all of it over the last, 24 months, even more than that. I mean, even kind of going back to college, and looking at, where his life is and how he's willing to, put his demons out there on the table so everyone can see, could you try to help somebody who might be in his shoes. And I'm just like unbelievably, proud to call him a friend. And, it's been an interesting ride. I can't wait to hear the show. I'll be locked in to Afternoon Drive. Today, again, is Dustin's last show on the Fanniversary. So kind of a bittersweet Fanniversary for 13 years. But I remember the day I walked up to Dustin and said, hey, it's Sports Talk at 92.3. What do you think? Want to give this a shot? And as Andy said earlier, Poobah came in earlier and said, we did a demo tape and we sounded way too much like friends, which we were at the time. And I think still are.
You guys are still friends.
Yeah. I mean, he had some really kind things to say. And I can't say enough about him. And I look at his grit and his determination right now with tennis and how just locked in he is on tennis and how good he looks. And he is, he's trying. He's trying hard. But as a lot of people say, and it doesn't matter where you are in life and it doesn't matter whether you have demons or not, it truly is one day at a time. Life is one day at a time.
Absolutely. So, whatever Dustin does next, he's going to be outstanding at it. Even if it's, whatever direction he decides to go, he does a great job on those college games. They're great watches. He's got so much information. He has so many thoughts. And you learn a whole bunch listening to him do those games. His relationship with me has meant a lot. A lot of stories I can't tell on the air that I'm very, very appreciative when it comes to Dustin and sticking up for me in a couple different ways that he didn't really have to, but did. So I will forever be appreciative for that one and welcoming me in when a lot of people did not at that time.
It was really interesting. If you get a chance, I know we talk about going to the Odyssey app and listening to podcasts and stuff like that, but I'm trying to remember what hour it was yesterday because I was listening. Must have been 5 o'clock hour yesterday. They did just some really neat behind the scenes stuff that you just don't normally get to hear about. And just talking about the dynamic of the station, talk about all the things that Dustin's gone through and just growing. I just remember listening to Dustin at the beginning and hearing some of this. You knew when it was football, it was his wheelhouse because he was going to give you some kind of knowledge. And then just to hear him grow over the years, and it brings me back to we talk about the Fanniversary. It brings me back to the beginning of Jeff and I when we first started doing the show, where we were, you can sit there and you can talk about talking sports for Jeff and I together probably have what 40 or 50 years of doing local sports on TV here on local news, and local news is nothing what it was, when we first got here, especially and what I thought it was, and where it is now. And, Jeff and I, and we still sometimes, and I think it's what drives us to a higher ground on this show to talk about some stuff. But Jeff and I still have that basic news instinct when we talk about stuff on the air. And we're not going to sit here and yell and scream at each other. We'll have fun. We'll bicker like a couple that's been together for 13 years. But, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, we're just trying to give you information so that you can decipher yourself. I'm not a big fan of anyone that tells you how to think.
Right.
That just drives me insane. I think that Jeff and I have talked about that, over the 13 years as just we want you to think. Man, if you're watching local news, if you're still doing that, or if you're listening to talk radio, I don't know. I spent a lot of time, and I think that's one of the things when Andy was in here before talking about all the hosts being from Cleveland, it's that, we think pretty much from the perspective that you do. Like almost all the time when it comes to being a fan. Now, are we lucky and blessed to be able to kind of hear things that maybe not everyone's hearing every day? Or do we, we put ourselves in situations over our entire career to try to find out information? It bothers me to no end when people just spit things out with no, I understand opinion and I get that, But when there's no relevance to it, or you're just making things up just because you want to sit behind a microphone and do ivory tower radio and pretend that you're the all-knowing god of sports and that what you're saying is 100% correct, like, that is an automatic turn off for me. It isn't that way. It just isn't. And I know that when Jeff and I say stuff sometimes, that if you're sitting over there at Carnegie, Ontario, or you're over at the arena, or you're in Berea or something, they'd be like, what are these two idiots talking about? You know, I hearken back to days when, I would spend 24/7 at the ballpark, or I would be at the arena, or Jeff was at the arena when he was doing, pre and post on TV. And, we were locked in, man. You know a lot more that's going on over there, and the reporters that are there know a lot more. They do, but they pick their times and they figure out when they want to say stuff and to make sure that it's right, because you do know sometimes you're going to say something and you could burn a lot of bridges along the way, but you're trying to figure out what's best for the audience that wants to listen to you say what you have to say. That's why I think social media has been really interesting. The thing I hate about it is a lot of times information gets out there way too fast and it's not real, and it's opinion, and sometimes opinion gets messed up with fact. So I always say to people over the 13 years here and then over the 20 plus, whether I'm at Spectrum or any other station on TV, just use your mind, man. Don't sit there and be a couch potato and just digest everything you're hearing. Know that there's probably a perspective on it, and know that, that information, you need to dissect that yourself. You need to be an active participant, because otherwise we just become potatoes.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I can only tell you what I think. I can only tell you what I believe. I will never tell you how to think. I can give you reasons why I think the way that I think.
And there's plenty of people that sit here and tell you how to think.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what are you doing?
And I won't do that, because anybody who has ever been in a relationship will tell you immediately, don't tell me how to feel. Like, everybody's been told that at some point in your life, whether it's by a loved one, whether it's by your mother, by your father, your sister, your brother, or even even your spouse. You've heard that at least once or twice in your life. Don't tell me how to feel. Don't tell me how to think. Like, I can only tell you how I see things. I can only tell you how I think. And so make your own opinion, because if two people are on two different sides of an argument, the truth typically is somewhere smack dab in the middle.
The other thing that kind of riles me up a little, at least, and I'm only saying this stuff because we're on the Fanniversary and it's 13 years, and we're going to talk about the Browns. We'll talk about the Browns and Daryl Ryder coming up here in a second. Like, I can't stand listening to people, and we don't normally do this, but when I hear a former athlete say something and have an opinion on something, it weighs about 1,000 times more than someone who's trying to say that they've been there and done that, because you haven't. Like, there is nothing more annoying than hearing an announcer or an analyst or someone who's sitting in our chair act like they've been there before, and when they haven't. That's the thing about Dustin that I'll miss more than anything. Like, I don't know what it's like, and none of us do.
No.
99.9% of us don't understand what it's like to put a helmet on and go full speed in an NFL game. And then, you make one bad step, your career is over. Hmm. And to understand that at the speed of light, the way they do that, or whether you're it's hard for me to watch a baseball game sometimes and hear someone give a perspective about, they should have hit that changeup, or they should have been able to do that. How do you know? You haven't been in that box. You've never stood there in front. Can you imagine what it's like to stand in the box with Class A thrown at you? I can't even imagine. I know one time at Spire, I sat there. They had a machine, a pitching machine that would throw over 100 miles an hour. And I looked at the guy that was running. I go, I want to stand in there because I want to see what it looks like when a ball is doing over 100 miles an hour coming at you. I don't know how these guys can hit anything over 100. How do they get their bat around? But when you hear someone trying to give you that perspective who's never done it before, boom, turn it off. I can't, and I don't know that I've ever done this and talked about what I like and what I don't like. But there's a difference when you're listening to somebody who's actually been out there do it. And, like, NBA is another one, too. It's like, why is that guy seem so soft? Have you ever been there? Like, I watch it from a seat in the stands over there, and I'm like, man, nothing looks soft out there. But when we see it on TV, everything becomes magical. And by the way, in slow motion, you know everything. When you've got an official or a referee that's trying to make a call that's not in slow motion, and they're trying to make it real time, it's a lot different. It's real easy to sit there on your couch and say all some of the things that you're saying.
It's the same way I feel with everybody coaching the NFL. with calling timeouts. Call timeout, call timeout. It's like, it's really easy when you're sitting there holding an Xbox controller and you could just hit the select button. Like, it's really easy when you're holding an Xbox controller, when you're standing on a field with how fast everything is moving, and then you got to make that decision. Good luck.
Anyway, happy fanniversary, 13 years. That's right, on the air for 13 years, and hopefully we'll be here for many, many, many more to come. Daryl Ryder's been with us for the whole ride. He'll be with us next. We'll talk Browns. What's going on, man? I mean, we're some big headlines for the Browns today. Deshaun Watson's contract restructuring. Tyler Huntley released from the team today. Deonta Foreman coming back. So Daryl's got the lowdown on everything that's going on in Berea. He'll join us next. Happy fanniversary.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.